That is the life of a Christian, a continual running back, coming back to the Father. If once was sufficient, you're in trouble. If you would, turn with me this morning to Isaiah 26th chapter. I want to get down to verse number 20 and speak to you about the chambers and the command. It's not an invite, no more than was Noah invited. He was commanded to come into the ark. Though I know that I'm pretty certain that we won't get there to that particular verse. What all it implies, what all takes place. But we'll start out that way. I trust that the Lord will give us hearing ears, that we may hear. I trust the Spirit of God in this hour, that particular day in which we live. Would you pray with me? Father, indeed, it is a privilege. With much grace and mercy having been bestowed upon a people that desire to gather and to worship. And that through means, O Lord, that Thou hast ordained, we can get past beyond knowing about and know Thee. All Your divine attributes. That which is most glorious in all of them is that we know these things to be true. And if salvation, as spoken by the Lord Jesus, is what He said it was, knowing Thee, the only true God, and knowing Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. If that's what salvation includes, and if it is only begun here, grant us knowledge to know Thee with you, fellowship with you, to be reverent before you, to be very sensitive to the voice of Christ spoken in our hearts by the Spirit, and taking the Word of God and making it a reality to us. Give us that we need. And that we need to obtain that you give us. Exalt Christ. Edify the children. And cause each of us to have fresh dealings with thee. As our God, as our Father, our Lord, our Redeemer. For it is in His precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Verse number 1, Isaiah 26. In that day, shall this song be sung in the land of Judah? We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee for a long, long time. When Satan was more real to me than God, when I had a greater awareness of him, demonic activity all around, that verse was more of a condemnation than it was a help. I knew it. I told the Lord what he said. You keep him in perfect peace. But I told him my inability. I can't. I might for a brief moment, but then there's the activity of Satan in the mind and in the heart. And it is what you set forth to be a precious help, I found only to be a condemnation to me. But it is so, children. When the waves roll over your head, you begin to sink in a mire. You can't keep the mind stayed on God, much less trust, because you're sinking. You will find in time God cannot lie. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah, you're going to end up without any strength. Battle's going to be greater than you can deal with. You're going to be emptied, weak, and it is in that condition you're going to find that the Lord Jehovah is your everlasting strength. Verse number 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. More is intended there than when the sun goes down and light's taken away. You have night in your own soul in the midday, under the midday sun. When it was dark, my soul desired Jehovah, Lord. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early, for when thy judgments, thy manner, thy right, thy cause, thy order, or thy law, when these are in the earth, and it's going to be this, I think this condition that's prevalent, which will only introduce the verse to us today. Where is the judgment of God? Where is the manner or the cause of God? Where is the order of God, or where is the law of God? Where is it in the earth? When it is, the inhabitants of the world will be instructed. They will be exercised. They will be taught righteousness. I think I told you Monday morning, tomorrow, 2 weeks ago. I woke up early and I lay there for a good while. And the condition that is prevalent around us was that which was on my mind. It's not good out there. It's almost at times overwhelming to us. Society, the task and the position that we have, so time consuming. And then you get out of it and get in your homes for a little bit and you've got your duties there. Nothing of God is being heard, or nothing of God is being seen. I don't think that you can tell me of one preacher, one, that holds to the entirety of God's truth, to the full body, that preaches solely for the glory of God and the exaltation of Christ, who is unaffected with the smiles or with the frowns of men. You can't tell me one known that has the ear of the public. He's not out there. Those that America do know, won't name any of them, but for them to have risen to that place that they are, in some aspects they've compromised truth. They have adopted a means of gaining a hearing which contradicts Scripture. Second church where I was, I to this day look back, don't know what in the world that pulpit committee asked me to pastor. Don't know. Huge. The adult Sunday school class was larger than our building. Two, not much older, 5-6 years older in my age range. One of them taught the young adults, and one of them taught some other class there. They sat down with me at the table one Saturday evening, trying to convince me for us to use some means of getting others there to hear. I couldn't give them a reason why not to, or why I couldn't. And they approached me with this: if we just get one saved out of the many that we can get here, by giving this away, by putting on that show, or having this kind of promotional day, if we can just get one saved, then it will have been worth it. I couldn't tell them why. I just said no. When you can convince me that the Apostle Paul or Peter or the disciples would have used any of these methods that you are suggesting to gain a hearing, if you can convince me, then I will agree with you. And for the buses that we run, we'll do this and we'll do that to get more on there. But they never did. Pragmatism has filled our land. If it works, they say, it must be of God. And the end in view has enabled them to devise means contrary to the Scriptures. They walking in light that they have made. They're following fires and sparks that they have kindled. And they don't have scriptural warrant to do what they are doing in the name of God and in the name of winning souls to Jesus. Ralph Barnard said on many different occasions that he was the last evangelist to America. Many made fun of him. Many did not believe, many did not understand, many accused him of wrong reasoning when he said that, but it proved that he was enlightened by the Spirit of God to make such a declaration. In his early years, he would preach to citywide campaigns where the churches in a specific place would get together. And they'd stay there, he'd stay there for 3 or 4 weeks or longer at a time preaching. So, many estimated 6-digit numbers made professions of salvation under his ministry. When he closed out, he was preaching to a small gathering here or there. Because of the rise of false prophets who had gained the ear of the American people, and they had destroyed him. These well-known men preached against the Lordship of Christ, saying that you could be saved without Jesus being your Lord. That you could be saved without a need of the Spirit dealing with an individual, and in our lifetime, the little track, the Romans wrote to salvation, was made very popular. And here's the method of their evangelism, soul winning. Romans 3:23, they would say to the individual, all have sinned. You see that in Scripture, don't you? And that person would say, yeah, I'm reading it with you. All have sinned. You are a sinner, right? Aren't you? Yes. Yes, I'm a sinner. Well, let's look at Romans 6:23. You acknowledge that you are a sinner. Now look, the wages of sin is death. You believe that, don't you? Well, yes. Let's go to Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you know God can't lie, don't you? Yes, we know that. Then you take God at His word, don't you? Yes. Since God can't lie, you know that you're a sinner. You know that the wages of sin is death, and you know whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, don't you want to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, sure you do. So repeat after me. Lord, I am a sinner, and I receive Jesus as my Savior. Now, you're saved. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you're not. God can't lie, can't know. You believe that, don't you? Yeah. If you ever doubt, remember, it's the devil. Because you are a child of God. I let one of the fellows that was a graduate of the college there in Virginia talked me into bringing down their pastor there, one of the assistants that was head over soul winning. Don't know why under heaven I did that. But I said, okay, invite him down for 3 days. So we started out on Monday morning. And I went with him, and we got into 3 homes, and I listened to him as he followed that road and as he won those souls to Christ. And he had them promise that they would be at the church that night, and that they would walk the aisle, and that they would publicly make a profession at lunch, I told him, take me home. I got out. I called the young man. He was older than I at the time. I said, if you want him to stay, you go with him. I didn't go hear him Monday night. Didn't go with him Tuesday, Wednesday. Didn't go hear him on Tuesday or Wednesday night. I didn't know much, but I knew that man's not of God. And he's lying to people. And he's making them twofold more the children of hell. I'll have no part in that. Well, in the early 60s, the last few years that Barnard would be upon earth, his message then was America is under the reprobation of God. Cast away. Rejected. Evangelism's been over all your lifetime. You've been raised in a country that has been under the judgment of God all our life. There is no public voice of God anymore. Oh, but since the 60s we have built monstrous buildings that would hold thousands of people come time to worship. But instead of God being in the midst, entertainment, excitement to the natural man, everything under God's heaven is there, but God in truth and in spirit. God's not. When God saved an individual, he put them back into society, and he said, now you are salt, and you are light. To how many people does your life have an effect upon? You know why? The verse we're getting to. It is a sad commentary on the state of a nation when God begins to gather the church into the little chamber and heaven is closed. For 3.5 years, Israel had no word from God. Drought covered the land. And yet the false prophets increased. 850 of them stood on the mount with one lone voice of God. You say there were 100 we know of that were prophets. Yeah, but nobody knew about them. They were hid. There was no voice to Israel. And the last words in closing out the Old Testament had to do with the judgment of God. Had to do with the light in Israel being put out. And for 400 years that nation sat in great darkness. Yet religion flourished. Jesus got there, he went into the temple and he went into the synagogue, and there were great multitudes. They were carrying on tradition. Everything was flourishing. There was no outward evidence that God was not speaking. And then out of the wilderness, God brings that old prophet. Never had been to school, been down there learning God. And he brings him out, and then the great crowds begin to come. It's a spectacle. You've got to come hear this man. Why, we've never heard anything like it. He's preaching the judgment of God. He's preaching repentance. He's preaching that which we have not heard. It could be that one of the old prophets has come back, because we're hearing with our ears what Israel heard 500, 600, 700 years ago. We're hearing that has not been said in the last 7 or 8 generations. Come hear him. And Christ comes on the scene and he feeds the thousands that are following him. He heals, he cures blindness, unstops deaf ears, causes the dumb to be able to speak, the crippled to walk. But then he began to make claims on their life. If you love anybody more than me, and if in comparison to the love you have for me does not bring on mother, father, brother, sister, wife, husband, children, such that compared, it's down on the scale. He used the word hate, not like it's used today, but just in comparison to the love. That was his claims. Too strict. Demanding too much. And he pulled the disciples into the little chamber. And he had no word to Israel as a nation anymore. In our lifetime, millions, literally millions of books have been sold by men claiming to have special powers when it comes to prophecy and understanding prophecy and telling us what the revelation means. And in those books, putting down in print some of the signs wherein we may know that the coming of Christ is here. And curious minds have bought these books, and their minds have soaked up that, all the while rejecting the essential. And in John 6, the crowd came to him, and they said, what sign showest thou us that we may see and believe? What work do thou so we can believe? Just work something that would convince us. Mark 13, I think, he comes out of the temple, and the disciples know something's different. He will never go back. And they catch him and they say, Lord, turn around and look at these magnificent buildings. How the stones are so cut and laid perfectly. What a magnificent structure is here. Won't you look at it? Won't you look at it with us? And he didn't. Because he had walked out, never to enter again. And then they said, okay, tell us. When will thy reappearing? What signs owest thou us? Okay, Israel, you want a sign. And fellows that you have followed, you want a sign. Okay, I'll tell you. Here's the only thing I'm going to give you. No, I'll give you a couple or three. As Jonah was 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You want me to tell you? You want me to give you a sign? You want to know when I will come again? Okay. Go back in mind to Genesis 6, to the days of Noah. How was it? Well, man began to multiply. 2011, somewhere in the world there was born a child that made the population of this world 7 billion people. Man began to multiply. And the professors of religion began to follow their natural senses and they saw the daughters of men. And what their eyes saw, their hands reached out to take. Because that's what they wanted, no matter what God said. In those days, men were more prized for their great minds and accomplishments than they were for anything that they knew or could say about God. Mighty men, men of renown. Why, you can drive down the road now and you can talk to somebody across the ocean. No lines. Great accomplishments. Taking the heart out of a human being. Do surgery. Sustain on machines, put the heart back in, and added no telling how many years to his or her life. We can take the organs of those that have just died and we can place them in those that are dying, and the dying will have years added back to their life. Men of renown. Landed men on the moon. Can view. Well, I can view your house. And your property. Sitting in behind the walls of mine. Men of renown. You want to know what they were doing? They were eating. They were drinking. They were marrying. And they were giving in marriage. And there's one misfit. Now because men have multiplied. And because men have knowledge of God. then the majority is going to be right, and one man can't be right. Why, he's talking about rain. He's talking about God destroying all life. And for 120 years he preached that the judgment of God is coming. It's coming, for it's here, folks. There may nothing come between Israel and Iran. We probably won't ever call their bluff the nuclear bomb Israel may, which will drag us in a war that we cannot afford. No money to pay for it. Men. But the majority is right. And there's something in your head that's saying that. Most of you can't be wrong. But as the years wound down, and as the iniquity rose to fill the cup, read one verse with me. Genesis 6. Folks, this is a solemn word to you. There are things that are more delightful in preaching. But please hear. Genesis 6:11. The earth also was corrupt. Note two words. Before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Before God. That is, they sinned openly. They sinned and there was no shame. They sinned boldly and resolutely. It doesn't matter what God says, what He thinks. I'm going to do what I want to do. They sinned before God. There was no fear of God in their eyes as they committed the most wicked of crimes. Before God, knowing that they would be called into an account and that the justice of God would prevail, it didn't matter. There is no preacher gonna tell me when you get to that stage, mark it down. Reprobation has already begun. And the earth was filled with violence. Words translated fraud, injustice, and oppression. Folk, lizards. And birds. And animals. Have more right than a human being. We'll spend millions of dollars to try to keep that species from fading away and at the same time kill unborn babies. Don't give me this life begins at thus and thus after conception. Before I formed thee, God said to Jeremiah, I knew thee. A premature baby 3 months prior to birth, he leaped in his mother's womb when the mother carrying the Lord in her womb walked into his mother's house. 2 Peter, chapter number 2. Second Peter 2. Verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sin, one sin, the sin of rebellion, and God never provided salvation for them, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now listen, and spared not the old world, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, sinning before the face of God without a guilt upon their conscience. God spared them not, but he saved Noah, the 8th person that had entered to the ark. Noah, come thou and all thy house. If you've been saved, you are a trophy of grace that magnifies God more than in the past when many were brought into the kingdom of God. You think we've got to develop means to get folks to hear? With Phil landed off the coast of Georgia, made his journey on horseback and foot up the East Coast, and thousands would be there to listen to him preach in a place before he ever got there. They were wasn't any cell phones, wasn't any satellites to get messages there, wasn't any telephones. God gathered. Now you think we've got to develop means to get a hearing? You think we've got to make it more attractive? Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. I like that word there in Genesis, and I like that word there in Isaiah 26. Come. He's already there. Come. Save not the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. You know what their ungodly deeds were? They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they build it. Now, what's the one thing that was missing when Christ told you about Lot's day and Noah's day. No marrying. I know that they did, because I know at least two. Maybe he had three girls, I don't know. I mean five. At least two of Lot's girls found husbands. But it had degenerated until marrying one man and one woman was all but gone. Now you tell me where we are. But don't sit there thinking that sodomy was the great sin. Ezekiel 16, God said that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, nothing but the Holy Ghost was mentioned of sodomy. Be it pride, Ezekiel 16, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. Now that's in the professing church. Noah, come thou. No more sermons. No more strivings with the Spirit of the Spirit of God. And no more activity. Don't do whatever's necessary to keep away from the edge of that great gulf of no more God talking to you. No more God warning you. No more activity of the Spirit of God. There came a time when Israel never heard another word, and the city leveled in AD 70. Jesus wept over it, said, "How oft would I have gathered thee, as a hen does her brood, but ye would not." But they never saw those tears. They never heard those words. They had rejected him. And he wept alone over their lost condition, which brought eternal damnation. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's a wilderness. That's a solitary place. That's a deserted place. I am pleading with every dear soul here. Don't end up in a desolate house. Reprobation. The manifold vastness is evident. Because there is no Spirit of God in this nation. In these churches. You think we've got the Spirit of God? We've got a drop. We've got a drop. But not in a great way. The Spirit of God has been withdrawn. And when men and women lose God, you lose a conscience. And to you, it is no longer wrong to do what you do. One last verse, Romans 1, 29. Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. Don't you begin to have hard feelings against God because the heathen doesn't have a Bible. The reason they don't have a Bible is because when that was given to them whereby they might know God, whereby it was shown to them and manifest that God was, they didn't improve upon it. The knowledge of God is revealed to man, which means that the heathens knew God. It means more than them having an opportunity to know. It means that in the nature that God made them, and in the works that God had done through creation, they possessed an intelligent mind of a divine or the divine existence. But that revelation was so neglected that they lost the ability to know what they had been taught. And therefore, ignorance set in. And the heathen nations began to develop. Verse 21 tells you what I just said. Because that when they knew God, when they knew, number one, they didn't glorify. Number two, they were unthankful. And that's what brought about reprobation, which works so secretly and silently that it brings one into total darkness that at one time was in light. Why do you think we're trying to find out how man got here? Why do you think we've spent trillions of dollars to try to prove that man got here by this? Because America sits in darkness. It's settled in upon our nation. Whoever Billy Graham's son is, you know his name. I don't. I've lost it. Said last week that Romney, though he's a Mormon, yet he's a Christian. False prophets. One makes the doors wide. You say you're passing judgment, say he's not a Christian. I'm just telling you what the Word of God states. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby they might be saved. There is one door. One door. You say that's putting most outside. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And when they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, they lose God consciousness and they lose a personal conscience, which every man had that was created. The true church is recognizable if the Spirit of God's at work. Godliness within her walls, holiness in men and women, reverence, godliness in the lives of those who say they are called to preach. Two of the worst professions in America, politician and a preacher. You've seen these big fellows get caught in adultery, get caught in lies. You've seen these big men, men of renown, fall. You say, David fell. Yeah, but he never got over it. He never got over it. You can't go to a funeral. A withdrawn spirit means that everybody's going to heaven. You can't go to a funeral. Lying devils get up in a big church that have before their name the word reverend, and they told how worshipful it was as they gathered there to bury Miss Houston. How reverent, how worshipful. The most amazing thing in all this is the confidence in most people's minds. Of their security. And we all look at a reprobate as one out there in great sin. Open sin. Big sin to us. Nobody knew Judas was a traitor until the night he betrayed him. Everybody, those other 11, had the Spirit of God upon them, and every one of them was wanting to know from the Lord if it was them. Not anymore. And that sin, so undone that reprobate, that in his own mind he was unfit for heaven, but he wanted to miss hell. Unfit to be among human society. And he went out and hanged himself. Reprobate. Not me. I believed. I was saved. And I'm all right. First Corinthians, I think it's 9:27. The greatest man God's ever called since the day of Christ, days, was Paul. Now you listen carefully. When I have preached, I beat my body into subjection, lest I be a castaway. I don't know why they put the word, our English translators put the word castaway there. Same word as reprobate in other places, or rejected in other places. Now, if the apostle went home from the preaching service with the awareness that there was a possibility of reprobation in him, you and I better continually be on the guard against ending up a reprobate. Well, I told you we wouldn't get to the text, but I trust that God has had his word spoken to your heart. Tim, you come read your hymn. Oh, will you dismiss us, please?